All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the November 20th, 2014 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Thank you to Mrs. Lewis and the Navin staff for hosting this meeting. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Mr. Pleasant?
Here.
Ms. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here.
And now we're going to have the CHAMPS leadership team is going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. So if we could all stand and join them.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. And how about if you guys introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Lucy Bittell.
What grade are you in?
I'm in fourth grade. I'm Nate Trader. I am in fourth grade.
I am Grace Hackett, and I am in fourth grade.
I am Terry Church, and I am in fourth grade.
I am Brandon Graves, and I am in fourth grade.
I am Adam King, and I am in fourth grade.
I am Eric Carmichael, and I am in fifth grade.
Great. Thank you very much. Would somebody like to tell us a little bit about what you do?
We help teachers, and we have jobs that we do in the mornings, and sometimes some of us in the afternoon that we do. And we have kids that do announcements. We have kids that put up and take down our flag. And we also have kids that help teachers.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much. Okay. At this point, I need a motion to approve the agenda for our November 20th meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Powers.
I would note that there's an addendum, and I put it a copy in front of you. It's just one item. An employee district staff member that just came across.
Okay. So. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Motion carries. And at this point, I would also like to express our sympathy and condolences to Mrs. Powers. She recently lost a family member just yesterday, and our prayers and thoughts are with you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And now, let's see, we do have, we need a motion to recommend the approval of the Employee of the Month for October and also the Employee of the Month for September, because last month I neglected to ask for a motion for September's Employee of the Month. So this month we'll be, I'll be asking for a motion to accept both of them.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Powers.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith.
All right, it's my pleasure to introduce you, Joan, if you want to come up here.
Yay!
I would also like to say that, Joan, how much weight have you lost on this?
Just shy of 85 pounds.
Yeah, so like new woman, big award, so I'm super excited to have you up here. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
So obviously your peers actually recommended you for this award, and I get to embarrass you totally
yes.
by reading their comments and making you stand in front of everyone, right? So I'm going to highlight, because you have a bunch of comments on here, so I'm going to take the time to talk a little bit about you. She's a very meticulous employee, striving to do the best she can at everything she encounters. With a very busy at-home schedule, Joan agreed to become our new OBI in training and has spent numerous hours learning all there is to learn, all the while maintaining a somewhat challenging bus route. Always upbeat and happy, she brought her circle of peace, does that make sense, to
yes.
the bus safety program, and it was well received and appreciated. She follows through on each and every endeavor to put before her and does it without complaints. Joan is also a great coach. During the winter meltdown challenge this past winter, Joan started eating healthy and has done really well. Not only does she do this for herself, she shares her knowledge with anyone who will listen, and she has quite a following. Many of us are now on board with the weight loss, large and small. What a great motivator in her job and as a coach. Congratulations. Thank you. And there's a gift card on behalf of the board.
Really? Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
You.
And we do need a roll call. Yes, so now a call for the roll. A roll call for that.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much. See, next, it's always nice to honor people who have gone above and beyond in their service to our district, and tonight I have the pleasure of recognizing two such individuals. Earlier this year, the board sent in nominations to the Central Ohio OSBA, or Ohio School Boards Association, for the Exemplary School Employee and the Friend of Public Education. We were thrilled to learn that our nominees were selected. And so, without further ado, start out with Mr. Bruce Daniels. Congratulations, Bruce.
Thank you.
I would like to read the letter that was sent in for your nomination. Mr. Bruce Daniels exemplifies the meaning of friend of public schools. Mr. Daniels has consistently supported both academic and extracurricular activities in the Marysville Exempted Village School District. Superintendent Diane Mankins commented, "All you need to do is ask and he makes things happen." Although Mr. Daniels is not a resident of the school district, he has consistently supported public education in our community. Several examples clearly reinforce the reason we feel Mr. Daniels is so deserving of this award. Earlier this summer, Mr. Daniels of Honda Marysville provided 5 new cars to be used in our Marysville Early College High School 2-day summer bridge design challenge for incoming freshman students. He also personally kicked off the challenge and addressed the 130-plus students attending the camp. During a 12-month time frame in the 2012-2013, we had levies on the ballot 3 times. Mr. Daniels sponsored full-page ads on a regular basis to help us communicate the importance of a quality public education. Mr. Daniels has shown a real interest and passion in educating and engaging the non-traditional students. One way he has addressed this interest is by taking students to the Transportation Research Center located near the Marysville Honda plant. TRC conducts programs designed to test for safety, energy, fuel economy, emissions, durability, noise, crash simulation, and performance. The company tests trucks, buses, recreational vehicles, motorcycles, electric vehicles, passenger cars, and components. What a great classroom. Mr. Daniels understands that education is a partnership between the district and its community, and he actively works at and supports that partnership. Throughout our district, no matter where you look, there are signs of support from Mr. Daniels and Honda Marysville. We feel blessed to have him as a friend of public schools in our community and feel strongly that he is deserving of recognition in the central region of the Ohio School Boards Association.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we are also thrilled to present to you with this plaque that was created by our own Bunsold Middle School students using the equipment from the Fab Lab.
That's awesome. Very, very cool. Thank you. Thank you so much.
1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Got it?
Yep.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. It's kind of heavy.
That's awesome. That's super. That is very cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very, very nice of you.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
And next, Mrs. Joanne Morbitzer. Come on up.
Thank you. Now it's your turn.
Oh, boy. With almost 25 years of experience in school food service, Ms. Joanne Morbitzer is an essential member of our district team. As our Director of Child Nutrition Services, Ms. Morbitzer manages a budget of approximately $2 million while providing healthy, well-balanced meals for students and staff at 9 different locations. Ms. Morbitzer's impressive knowledge of food nutrition is evident in every aspect of her department.
She is constantly working with suppliers in order to provide the best quality food at the best cost. She runs a tight ship, keeping the department in the black. She maintains a high student participation percentage in the breakfast and lunch programs, charging the minimum meal prices, while also meeting strict governmental regulations. Along with her vast knowledge of the food service industry, Ms. Morbitzer displays excellent people skills. She works closely with her staff, teaching them and working with them to set goals for the department. She shows her kitchen managers how to work their production records and how to control their operational costs. If the department is lacking workers, Ms. Morbitzer is quick to throw on her apron and jump in the serving line to keep operations flowing smoothly. Her positive can-do attitude is contagious. Ms. Morbitzer's value to the district extends past the food service department. She has put on training seminars on nutrition for outside organizations and is a member of groups like OASBO and School Nutrition Association of Ohio. Ms. Morbitzer has also been a great supporter and volunteer for past Levy campaigns. Under her leadership, the department asks for ways to help and is always dependable, cheerful, and efficient. Thanks to the exceptional leadership of Ms. Morbitzer, a trip to any of our school's lunchrooms will feature a spotless preparation area, friendly smiles on all the lunchroom workers' faces, and beautifully presented meals. Ms. Morbitzer is truly an exemplary school employee for the Marysville Exempted Village School District.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where's yours?
Well, thank you.
One, two, three.
And
we're good.
All right. And I also just got a text. I guess we're on the front page of the Tribune Journal today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, hey, you lunch, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Those are fun to do, aren't they?
It's fun to do.
Okay, next up on our agenda, we have a presentation from Navin Elementary on the Common Core and professional development. So, Ms. Lewis.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you guys were all here today. I'm going to talk a little bit about... I'm going to talk a little bit today about... I don't know why now I'm going to have a technical difficulty.
There it goes.
Oh, there we go. Okay. We have four district goals here that we are all aligning our own work plans under, and the one I'm going to talk about tonight is our district goal number one, which is the student performance and student learning. And I don't need to read that to you. You can probably see we're just going to, well, I guess I'll go over here to you. We're going to increase student performance by establishing individualized, student-centered, innovative learning opportunities that engage all students. So let's see if I can get this to work again. Yeah, maybe yes, maybe no. There we go. So we did a PD plan here at the building level. We do things in the district. This is our PD plan for Navin Elementary, and we focused on four areas, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Some of the areas we introduced last year and started kind of working on, and other areas we introduced this year as something new, new initiative for our teachers and staff to work on. So we started all of our PD towards these four areas during our August 13th opening staff meeting, and then we continued it on the 15th and extended that learning for our teachers. And, of course, along the way, our math and literacy coaches, which I couldn't live without, assisted in developing, instructing, and supporting our teachers along the way. So we really appreciate that from them. Here we go. Okay, so we have... four areas. One was robust vocabulary instruction. And if you look at our data in the OAAs across the district, really, but we look here at Navin, that is an area of weakness we felt. So we wanted to really power up that instruction for kids so that they start to take ownership of learning new words that help aid in comprehension. It's also, we notice the kids are coming into our kindergartens, what seems like with less vocabulary overall, for whatever reason. And so certainly some of our students that struggle with socioeconomic issues come in even a little bit lower than that. So because we had coupled it with close reading, vocabulary is a huge part of that. And in close reading, that is one of our Common Core State Standards mainstays. And when you're talking about close reading, you're talking about kids learning how to read and reread a text so that they really go deeper and deeper into the information or the meaning behind that text, or beyond the text, where they make those connections with things that they're doing or are going to do in life. So close reading and the robust vocabulary almost go hand in hand. Now, we did some close reading last year. The vocabulary is new. When at the bottom, you look at rich math tasks and problem-based learning. We started rich math tasks last year with our math coach. He did a great job with some of our teachers, and I'm going to show you what this is in a little bit. But it talks about writing about math. We wanted to include more about writing about math as they're solving problems and thinking independently for themselves or with a group. They're always problem solving, and then they're learning how to defend their answers. So it's important that students come up with a solution to a problem, but that they can defend and tell you why they believe that's the correct answer and how they reach that answer. PBL, we started that a little bit last year, but I would say we're very much novices in that still. But we're looking at lesson design overall, making our lessons and student learning inquiry-based so that they are kind of taking charge of what they learn and what they gain from a task. The learning needs to be authentic, either their problem or a problem that we pose together as a group. Again, of course, problem solving. And it needs to be open-ended and creative. And if you see the new College Ready High School, you'll see that everywhere in there. So this is kind of our version with the little guys. And it's amazing what they can do as well.
Lynette, I just wanted to, for people who may not know what PBL stands for,
problem-based learning. Some people call it project-based learning, design challenges, inquiry learning. I mean, even the rich math test, they're all the same kind of strategy of teaching kids how to be independent learners. They solve the problems. We don't give them the information. We don't spoon-feed them. They solve a problem themselves, design it, and come up with an answer that they own. We don't own it and give it to them. They own it themselves. So that's exactly what that is. And thank you, Sue. We get used to using some of the acronyms. And, of course, I put this in here, and I didn't do it. Okay. Let's see if the next one comes up now. I don't know why this is so slow tonight. Okay. So those are the four areas we looked at. This is how we set it up throughout the school year in order to embed that professional development with our teachers. We started with each one of the four areas. We would take one, let's say close reading, and we would do a block planning of about 70 to 80 minutes of really targeted instruction with our coaches, with myself, and with different grade levels. And then we would send them back to the classroom with ideas and resources and conversation to actually practice what they learned. And they can reflect on that. They can think about what went right, what went wrong, what they need more help with, what they were excited about and want to celebrate. Then we may spiral back around to a staff meeting later on in the school year or a month later or 6 weeks or whatever. And we use the same topic. So let's say it's the robust vocabulary. We come back and have a staff meeting that's dedicated to that topic again. We extend their learning and provide them with more resources. The staff shares what they learned from trying it in the classroom. And we may modify our goals. Teachers may decide they want to do more of it. They want more support from a coach, whatever they need to make that successful. Then they go back to the classroom again, and they practice again, and they do a lot of reflection. When we meet as grade-level teams, we talk about it again, kind of informally. And then at the end of the year, we do our last grade-level teams where we're talking about that topic, like vocabulary, and we're deciding what our non-negotiable is going to be here at Navin. Are we going to teach it every day? Are we going to teach it out of every book? Are we going to pick and choose targeted vocabulary to use? They're going to do that at the end of the year and set goals for the following year. So it's really important that we do short bursts of instruction for them, for teachers, and then they get to go practice their craft. Because if you don't get to use what you learn, you forget it. And you also might not realize that there's other things you might need to be successful. So we are doing that with all four of our areas this year to embed that professional development. So I'm going to focus on PBL, or project or problem-based learning, tonight. And just we started working again like on it last year a little bit. They've had some rich math tasks that they've done last year, a little bit of project-based learning or problem-based learning in science. Not all my staff members, just some. And this year, thanks to Diane, and again we thank you, we are working with EdWorks, and Amy and Robin have been here twice to work with our teachers to help them develop this specific task, this specific strategy. And that's been very helpful. We've worked as grade levels together, and it's been, they brought us a lot of resources, and it's great. So please join us. We're going to take a peek at what inquiry-based, rich math, problem-based learning looks like at Navin. You're going to see three things. One is a first grade math, less rich math task, and they came up with their own problem or question, which was, what size pumpkin has the most seeds? So that's what they wanted to learn. What we wanted to see was how, if they could efficiently count that, figure out how to group and count that. The second thing you're going to see is a third grade design challenge, which is a roller coaster, and they had to be so high at minimum. There were some criteria that they had to meet to do that, and the big thing we were trying to get them to do was work collaboratively in teams and problem solve and design together. And the third thing, we started town hall meetings this year, and we focus on two to three classrooms. We just had one, and we didn't invite anybody because we wanted to see how it went. It went beautifully. The students are responsible for sharing what they learn in their classroom with the entire school, and we invite their parents to come and see it as well. So you'll see a fourth grade class that designed the entire presentation themselves. So we were looking for public speaking, but we were also watching to see what they chose to present to students and how they chose to present it. So it was all done by students. So I'm giving you a warning right now, and you'll see why in a minute. So be prepared when you see this for collaboration, which really is noise, but it is collaborating, but it's loud. Excitement, which also comes out to be loud, but they are working and they are engaged. And building, doing, and designing, which really looks like a mess. So you have to give up your neat little classroom and let them really explore and develop their projects. So be prepared, because you will see some engagement and ownership of learning. Okay, let's get this, see if we can get this to play. Okay.
My pants!
Oh, my.
From that, like learning how to problem solve together on one task, and with their knowledge about a company that they thought that they had created that knowledge and understanding.
And progressing, I think, about utilizing PBLs are the opportunity for kids to be able to think creatively, to kind of be outside the box, collaborate with peers. A lot of times I feel like education traditionally has been very teacher-driven, and PBL allows an opportunity for kids to be in the driver's seat and the teacher to kind of take a back seat. And so it's really hard for me to kind of let loose and give kids the control of the classroom. But I feel like it's what's best for kids, even though sometimes it's hard for me.
So what do you think your students take away from a PBL or inquiry-based experience, learning experience?
Well, they love it. They love it. They literally like cheer for joy when we do them, which makes me realize we need to do more of it. But they love the opportunity to work with their peers. They love the opportunity to do something different, to do something fun. They love being able to like get their hands in there and, you know, be able to move around the room and talk and collaborate. And just, I need to start thinking about the things that I teach day in and day out. How can I make that more open? How can I make that more compost? Like, for example, we're studying energy right now. That would be a perfect way to do a PBL or a design challenge. Like, the kids could design.
And we're really just about done. In fact, we are done. Oops. What that said was, we need to do more. That's what we feel like. We're just getting our feet wet, and we're trying things, and we need to start, you know, designing our lessons in a different way whenever we can, and just think differently. And like Heather said, it is really what's best for kids. And I think that now that most of my teachers have tried it, they really believe that's true. So, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. If you have any questions, let me know.
I think that's so interesting. I know, like in some of my classroom visits, it just seems like from a non-educator's perspective that there's just so much more engagement with the kids and really focusing on the how or the why or, like you said, kind of explaining how they come up with those answers.
And even if they make a mistake, like last year, the fourth grade designed these cars that were supposed to work with rubber bands and something else. Anyway, it was a big flop. They ended up cutting wheels out of wood instead of cardboard, and they hardly moved at all. Mm-hmm. And the teachers were like, oh. The kids were like, Ms. Lewis, we built cars, and they sucked. And they were so excited because they had done it. It was a mistake, but they ended up writing some things for this year's class that they learned. So they were even excited with mistakes because they learned from their mistakes how to fix that themselves. And, I mean, they learned it. Nobody's telling them or, you know, giving them that support necessarily unless they absolutely need it. Otherwise, they are on their own, and they really are so capable.
Do you, and, you know, we've heard a lot about Common Core lately, and you know, specifically a lot of people say they think, like, this crazy math kind of stuff. But, I mean, I guess in your opinion, what's the biggest difference between the Common Core standards and the standards that you had before, and how does that relate to the way that your teachers are teaching?
Well, when I moved back to Ohio under the old standards, and it was I felt like there were so many of them that we couldn't teach anything really deeply because we had to move on and do more standards and cover a lot of information. So now I feel like the standards are more manageable, but they also allow you to go much deeper in the learning, in my opinion. I mean, I just feel like the teachers can spend more time teaching what they need to teach and take the kids deeper, like with things like this. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've seen some of the articles. I've had my friends in Virginia, the Virginia does not do the Common Core, so they're always texting me on Facebook and asking me questions. There is nothing that we do now that we really didn't do before. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same. It's just in a different way. And I keep saying it depends on your state or your school system and what materials you chose to support this. Maybe you didn't choose the best ones, mm-hmm. or maybe you didn't give your teachers the training that they needed to really understand and implement. And so I feel that is not the case here. And I know one of the things was that I saw a film my girlfriend just sent me, that this mother stood up and she said if her child did a two-step solution to a math problem, they failed. all we talk about is what's the most efficient way. There's a bunch of ways to do it that you guys, the kids, have all come up with themselves. What do you think is the most efficient? And the kids will look and say, you know what, I think his is the most efficient. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So we're not putting any kind of constraints like that on them. So I don't know where all that's coming from mm-hmm. at all. But I don't feel that way here. Right. I don't know about my fellow principals, but I think they agree. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
Great.
I have to say, I'm amazed at the courage teachers are exhibiting in taking pumpkins and turning first graders loose with...
takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
Inside a pumpkin, trying to count how many seeds are there.
And they all started by counting by ones, and they realized real quick, oh, this is not fun. Yeah. So, I mean, if you've ever met Ryan Ferriman, my coach, who, by the way... put this video together. We both filmed stuff and he edited it.
Yeah.
He does not give them any kind of clues or anything. He is so patient and lets them wait and work things through themselves. And the teachers want to get in there and help. Even Abby, if you saw when they started circling the 50, she's like, oh, what do you do? And then it was like, oh, no, that's great. Yeah. But it's hard. They're learning how to have to let go on some of that stuff. Right. And it's difficult for some of the teachers, and some of them do it very naturally, but I think mm-hmm. they all see the value in it. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. I mean, I think back to when I taught, and my classroom was always not really clean, and it wasn't always really quiet. But and yes, I had deaf children, and yes, I had the noisiest classroom in the school, just saying. But but I always felt like I had to kind of control what was going on and how mm-hmm. things were happening for their sake, and really I probably did them a disservice. I probably should have let them go more on their own like this. I can imagine what they could do. So you live and you learn.
How would you say the kids do with the collaborative part? Because that's part of it too, is they're working in groups, maybe a little more than they do on some of the other lessons.
It's a process. I mean, surprisingly, they do well, better than I would think, especially these little ones that are just now experiencing some of this for the first time. But I think really quickly they figure out, oh, we can get more done as a group than if I were by myself, you know. And sometimes there's one that's a little bossy and there's one that's, but they kind of work that out themselves. And really, you get involved when it becomes a little testy. Other than that, you let them work it out themselves, and you try to teach them and model for them what appropriate group and collaborative work is. So it's amazing what they pick up so quickly that I would think would take months, years to teach them. But our upper grades are going to benefit from this greatly, because these kids are going to be very experienced by the time they get up to the upper grades now. So I think they'll see a big difference in how they work together and problem solve quickly and that kind of thing. So, I mean, it takes a while sometimes, so they have to learn that sometimes you have to just spend the time, and really it reaps multiple benefits if you can just do that. So it's just a different way of thinking. It's a shift for our teachers for sure, and me. So, but I love to go in and observe under these circumstances. I mean, it's always interesting and fascinating to hear them talk, and some of the things they come up with are just amazing. So.
Great. Lynette, first of all, thanks a million for having us. Love having my door open for me. I don't care how old I am. You know, it's great to have someone open the door for me. So it's great to have your kids open the door this evening and welcome me. This is a special place for sure. I actually got chills when we were sitting here, little goosebumps. Principals, this is what we've been talking about, to see it happening. If I didn't mistake, if I'm not mistaken in what you said, students in November are exceeding the target for the end of the year by counting by tens?
Really, October.
Yeah.
And yes, because really they're supposed to count in first grade with a Common Core standardized test to 120. And
what?
They're counting by hundreds to 400, and they figured it out themselves. And you can see that's what's so fascinating. You can see his brain moving. Now, the other kids may not have had that yet, but now they saw him do it, and they're like, right. Oh. So, but they all figured out quickly, we got to group by tens and count by tens. That single one, that did not work at all. They would have been there still to this day, probably. So, and they made a theory. They had small, medium, and large pumpkins, and they guessed how many would be in there, who would have the most seeds, and that was their authentic problem. They wanted to prove themselves right. And then, of course, ours was collaborative, and then the math piece. I mean, that was a real... Mm-hmm. test, and we learned lots of stuff. Really, the biggest pumpkin does not always have the most seeds at all. So it depends on the amount of ridges that go around. The seeds line up on the ridges. So that it could be a small pumpkin with a lot of lines around it. It could have the most pumpkin seeds. I didn't even know that. They're teaching me that, and I'm thinking, yep. The two masters, I had no clue. And I've eaten a lot of pumpkins, let me tell you.
Well, job so, well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Job well done.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Now we're moving on to the superintendent's report.
So I handed out to each one of you a quality profile, which should be in your stack. It's a color brochure. We have started a quarterly newsletter to every home in Marysville. This will be the first quarterly newsletter. It's a little larger than normal. Basically, this kind of summarizes everything we are beyond the school district report card. So this actually should be arriving in homes probably within the next week, I would imagine. So copy for you to take home and read, I guess, over Thanksgiving or when you have some time. But certainly a lot of work went into to putting that out, and it's a great product. I'm pretty pleased with that. I also wanted to mention that Lynette did that Edworks is in the district doing a significant amount of PD, and I put that in my last update, specifically K-8. That happened a little sooner than we had planned. That is part of the Straight A grant. We have a 5-year contract with them, so we are not having to pay for that. That's all through our grant dollars. So I think if you talk to every principal in one way, shape, or form, they're contributing in a big way to PD and some of the things they're doing in the buildings. Also, I thought I would talk about redistricting. We had our second meeting last evening in a we've only had two total. We have representatives from every elementary as well as the principals, as well as transportation is represented there as well. Jonathan is leading those meetings. They've taken a spreadsheet and been able to play with our current maps, which different zones around, and ask what if we did this and what if we did that. We have three maps that we'll be prepared to share at a series of meetings in December. So we'll be hosting a meeting either before or after PTO meetings in every elementary school in the month of December, as well as we have an online interactive Google survey that Jonathan has created where if you cannot attend in the meeting, you have the opportunity to give your input into that as well. So that has taken great shape. I think everyone on the committee has been very collaborative. And some have been extremely innovative. Some people have totally made a map from, I guess, left field, one we weren't predicting. So, but good work happening there, so we're pleased for that. So we're on target with that timeline. Actually, we hope to be done a little earlier so that when kindergartners sign up in February at registration that we might have that done so they would know which building they're going to. Lofty goal, but we're on time right now to do that.
Great.
Craig is also here this evening from Rusilli to talk to us a little bit about wrapping things up at the Early College Building. He's excited to not come here anymore.
Well, no, not at all. I'll come back anytime you people ask me to. Just come to visit. As Diane said, we are just about done. Go back a few months, and we were just getting started, and here we are. We have two or three change order items left, finishing the carpet, getting a better looking carpet for the student lounge, and getting the monument sign ordered, which wasn't part of the original design, but the team decided they wanted to add one, so you have something out there to identify the building. We have put out a temporary sign, so everyone knows what it is, and I, well, myself and another my helper took off the letters Marysville Middle School, so people aren't confused. It's no longer the middle school, it's the Early College High School, which I'm glad we finally got a name that's consistent, and I've been keeping with it, so it's Early College High School. I'm good with that. So a few flooring items left and a few change order items. We're putting in our what we call our feature walls right now. It's going to be really neat when you walk in and have that feature wall right as you come in, looking at you, then down towards the IT area. What I'm most excited about is when we do have, whether it be an internal open house or dedication, seeing all the equipment running. I've been to Ramtech, and I think this is just about every bit, if not better, than what they have down there, because that was the measuring stick we were all looking at. And so what we've come up with here, I don't know what most of it does. I mean, I've dealt with robotics and some of my projects in the past, but it's pretty neat. And when they take the billet of aluminum and put it in there, and it comes out, you know, as a card holder. So I'm really anxious to see all that up and running and operational, and you know, having people get a chance to see what that's about. I think it's going to generate a lot of excitement. So, but yeah, we're just about done with the journey. We're just about done.
It's a constant reminder. I know I've been a little impatient the last couple months, and but this time last year, we didn't even know we had the money. So I continue to bring myself back to that every once in a while when I'm putting a little heated pressure on people to finish up, because it's been quick. And if you walk in and have the opportunity to see how different the space is, it is significant. So it's a gentle reminder to myself, too, to remember to be patient. And because it certainly, you know, this time last year, we hadn't even found out that we received the grant.
That's right.
So it was later in December. So,
yeah. Remember when I got the email from my supervisor? It says, your next project's Marysville. And I said, get ready. So we did.
Little did you know.
In 6 months, we had it pretty much wrapped up. So, yeah, we're just about done. We have some finishing touches to place, and then it'll be all yours. And should there be any issues that come up after construction, Rosilli's always here, and we'll step in and make sure that everything's taken care of. Okay.
I just walked through the building yesterday, and it looks amazing. It really looks good.
I'll tell you what gets me most is the colors.
And you love them now, right?
Works, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Exactly. Diana, I was critical of the colors at first, to be perfectly honest. I thought they were a little bit
a little crazy.
Much. And Diana said, you know what, you just wait. When it's all in and all together, you'll be surprised. And I am very impressed. I think that she and Kathy and with the architectural team did a phenomenal job in making it come together. I didn't think it would, but it certainly did. So I have to say kudos to Diane and everyone that helped her with that. It came out looking phenomenal.
I just would like to correct one thing you said. It's definitely better than Ramtech. Let's just make that clear. There's no doubt or question.
Fair enough.
All right.
Any questions? Any other questions about the work?
Thank you.
No, thank you very much.
One thing I do want to mention just before I depart is that the monument side, that's going to be a ways out, because it takes a long time to fabricate, get approved, go through zoning again. So just so you know, that we'll have a temporary sign up there. We have a permit in place for that. We'll keep up there, but it could be upwards of 16 weeks from the time we let it go, which we're about ready to do, before it gets here. It could be sooner than that, but I mean, that's how long it can take depending on the zoning. So I just want to make sure the board's aware of that it could take a while to get that monument. It's not much to it. When you get it, goes in rather quickly, but the process to get it there is a very time consuming effort.
Okay. So we'll try not to pester anybody about that sign, right?
You can pester me anytime you folks like. That's not a problem, but I just want you to be aware of where that's at, because I know it'd be nice to have the digital sign. It's going to be really neat when it's out there, but it's going to take a while.
Okay. Thank you very much, Craig.
Thank you. I was going to say, it's the only time they've ever
come. I don't know. I was walking out too badly.
I think that just the last piece I have, which kind of segues into that building, is on the agenda tonight. We do have a request for qualifications for the health science wing. So as you know, when that building, well, as some of you know, maybe some of you don't know, when that building was left vacant, there was a sum of money set aside to renovate that building at a time that it would reopen. So that is the money that we would earmark or have earmarked to do the health science pathway. So that is on the agenda for this evening.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Treasurer's Report.
I wanted to mention I was at OSBA conference last week. One of the, I think, most important meetings I went to there was the Coalition for Fiscal Fairness in Ohio, otherwise known as CFFO. The CFFO is a group of districts in Ohio that are affected by the tangible personal property reimbursement or the potential loss of the tangible personal property reimbursement. It was good to learn about the group. They've got two lobbyists that are continually working and just educating the legislators so that they understand the impact that any changes to that funding source would have. There's 262 districts in the state right now that are still receiving some form of tangible personal property tax to the tune of over $420 million annually. So obviously having that big of a number is something that the state will, you know, continue to look at, but we'll like continue to lobby to make sure it's not taken away. Two other things to note: November 24th coming up, we've got a finance committee meeting. At that meeting, we'll be discussing the permanent improvement forecast, the same forecast that I presented to the board. I guess that was a month ago. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll probably be digging into a little more detail at that meeting. And then on December 3rd, we have a booster and PTO. I'm kind of calling it a best practices meeting. So we've invited all of the PTO representatives and booster representatives in the district, and we're just going to kind of go over just some best practices, help answer any questions that they may have in regard to finances or you know, maybe a legal update as it pertains to those types of groups.
Great.
What's the date of that time?
That is December 3rd.
And what time and where?
The Finance Committee meeting is November 24th at 6 o'clock at the board office. And the booster PTO meeting is December 3rd. That one is at 7 o'clock, also at the board office.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, board president's report. I also wanted to comment that on November 10th and 11th, several members of our governance team attended the Capitol Conference, Mr. Smith, Mr. Luke, myself, and I know Ms. Mankins and Mr. Johnson, we were all there. It's a huge conference. It offers hundreds of breakout sessions, and I think probably between all of us, we probably attended at least 15 different sessions. Some of them were focusing on board development, student achievement, community relations, finance, facilities, technology. I know Mr. Smith also attended the session where they were approving updates to their legislative platform, which is always an exciting meeting to go to. But I think we learned a lot of good things, and it's a great chance to network and hear what some other districts are doing and give us some ideas. So that's always a good thing. I went to the Chamber Board meeting this morning, and there was some discussion about the exchange program with our sister city, Yoree. Recently, they had an election, and there's a new mayor in Yoree, and I know our Mayor Gore and Eric Phillips of the Chamber have reached out to him to make that connection. I think both of our Japanese instructors were part of a conversation with them. So the city also, Mayor Gore also said that he's working to try and help with some fundraising efforts for when we do have our student exchange, which is going to happen next year, is it, I think?
This year, in
2015. Yeah. Okay, yeah. With middle school students?
Yes,
okay.
Primarily.
Yeah, okay. So it's a great partnership, and it's nice to see everybody working together on that.
And the middle school, just for everyone's information, mm-hmm. is because Yoree, their mayor, oversees their public education, and it only goes to ninth grade.
Okay.
And after that, they go to different university feeders and et cetera. So we are going to send a few older kids as we can, but that was really the focus for that at the time we set it up.
Okay, great. They also spoke a little bit about the fact that the Chamber's CIC board, which stands for Community Improvement Corporation, held their last meeting at the Early College High School, and they just had rave reviews about it. They were so impressed with the facility and all of the equipment there, and really excited about the opportunities for our students. Let's see, and also I want to thank Mr. Smith because he has agreed to become a board member on the CIC board. They had an expiring term of their education representative, so they were looking for a replacement. So
Mr. Smith stepped into that. Also, this on December 5th, Columbus 2020 and the Mid-Ohio Development Exchange is going to be hosting the Economic Development 411 Summit, and I think you got a, I think we all got something on that as well. So if you're interested in attending, I've gone the past 2 years, and I'm signed up to go again this year. I think it's really, it's great information to hear about what's happening with economic development in Central Ohio. Again, Eric Phillips is a key part of that group, and it's nice to hear what's happening and how the way that we're educating our students is going to really help create a lot of success in this area. So,
I'm actually presenting there as well, talking about developing partnerships and how industry and education need to work together as well. So,
yeah, so we can go and support
well, you don't have to
our
do
fearless that. Leader. let's see. Wanted a shout out to the marching band. There was an article in the paper there. They did receive a superior rating at every competition this year. And finally, also wanted to let you know that I started working with Mrs. Lottage to update our board's webpage. That was something that part of our board goals was to try and make that, keep it current. I would like all of you to review your bios that are currently in there and send some updates to Mrs. Lottage for next year. So, you know, if it's right now it says you're in your first year, go ahead and make some revisions for next year if you want to change a few things. We'd like to try and keep them all in that 3 to 5 line range, and so that would be one thing for you to do. And also, we plan to add some links there for our board protocols and the goals and work plan that we just approved recently, so that somebody should happen to want to go to the board webpage, they can actually see what our goals are and see some of the things that we've been working on. And that's it for my report. And then the High Point report, Mr. Decco's not here today. He is out of town, but I did forward his report to you. They have begun their search process for replacing their superintendent. They interviewed 3 candidates in October and then decided they will continue the search process again in December. Also, I thought this was nice. Mr. Decco attended the high school program review committee so that he could better understand the curriculum offerings and future plans for satellite program expansion. And so I did a follow-up question and asked him what he thought after he attended that meeting. And he had just responded this afternoon saying that he was really excited about the future of the satellite programs and their plans. And he thought it was important to stress growing our engineering-type programs, and also that we needed to keep on promoting the value of a technical education to both our students and our parents so that they understand what a huge need there is for people with that kind of a background in education. And that's it for that. Legislative report.
We had the recent local elections, statewide elections, and locally, Dorothy Blando was reelected to represent the 86th district in the Ohio General Assembly, and I sent a message of congratulations to her and have extended again to both of our local representatives' interest in meeting and working with them as we go forward. At the OSBA conference, I had an opportunity to speak briefly with both the chairs of the House Education Committee and the Senate Education Committee. They were there and spoke to Common Core. They were in agreement that they didn't expect anything to happen at the state legislature concerning that. The chair of the House Committee said that he didn't expect it to come to the floor for a vote. And if he did, based on conversations, he said he'd been on the phone with lots of people in the House, and he just didn't feel there was support to see any change. And so he was confident that House Bill 597, if it came to the floor for a vote, would be defeated. The focus that they both pointed to for the next several months anyway is the biennial budget. They both said that they hoped that education would be an area that would see little change. They were sending word that they would like people to just kind of leave education alone for a while and not do too much, let things kind of work its way out. And they both said that they felt that schools shouldn't expect to see any real significant change. They didn't see anything earth-shattering coming up over the next 2 years. And I did, going up and talking to them, the tangible property tax is something that they think is going to get a lot of discussion. And so that has a very significant role in funding for our school district. And so it's something that we need to be aware of, continue to encourage the state government to follow through with promises that had been made. Funds would continue to flow, so we'll see if it happens. That's it.
All right. Safety and Drug Committee report.
Well, I don't have a lot. I've been spending most of my time at the hospital. I don't know, Craig, if you might have a date for our next meeting. I don't think that's been forwarded to me.
Mike.
That's been it hadn't been forwarded to me. If we have a date on the next meeting for the drug and safety.
I don't believe we do right now.
Okay. I text Holly, and I haven't heard back yet. But I'm also going to, I'm joining the Drug Coalition. Okay. So I will be attending their monthly meetings and through my work and through for here. So I'm going to jump on board on their, on the Youth Drug Coalition over on that side.
Great.
So other than that, you know, we're just doing our standard, the announcements and stuff at the talks. And so I'm just waiting on a date for our next meeting.
All right. Great. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any public participation?
Nope.
All right. And we need a motion to approve the minutes from our prior meeting.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve the resolution authorizing announcement for professional design services. I'll make that motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Pleasant. Discussion on this?
No, really?
Okay, yeah. This is just what Ms. Mangans had referred to earlier. So, roll call, please.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Now we move on to the Treasurer CFO items. So, I need a motion to approve all of the items listed.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith. And I'll second that. Any discussion?
I would say this is the first time I can remember there's nothing real major on there, so.
It's pretty nice. All right. Any questions from anyone? Okay. And take a roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. Next up, we have the superintendent items. So we would lump all of those together, and I would accept a motion to approve all of the action, all of the superintendent items.
That includes the addendum.
And that would include the addendum, I think.
Yes.
It's not. Yes, it would, including the addendum. Thank you, Mr. Pleasant.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Pleasant.
Second.
Second by Ms. Powers.
I always like to point out when we have retirements, so certainly four significant retirements. I added their years of service together in the district, and collectively they've served the district 123 years.
Wow.
So Doug, 34, Ms. Van Winkle is 35, Mr. Hinn is 33, and Ms. Chapman is 21. So
wow.
Certainly wish them well in their future. I know I had the opportunity to talk with Doug and threaten not to bring his letter, and he said he knew four of you personally, and he wasn't afraid to cash in on that. Certainly want to wish them well in their future endeavors and thank them for everything they've done for students here in Marysville.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, they really have. They've done great things.
Yeah.
I know they've each in their own way have made significant contributions to the children.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Is there anything else?
No. Again, just reminding you that that's a second read of the policies,
right.
Including an open enrollment policy. I know there have been a few questions that we've answered, so if there's any other questions on that.
We also have that the trip to Boston on there as well, right? So.
Trip to Boston is something new that a couple teachers put together. Aaron's worked with them directly to try to create that. I know there were a few questions, and
right.
Aaron's responded to those.
Yeah. Looks like a nice opportunity if they can get it up.
Yeah,
busy.
It also speaks well to the teachers that are willing to take on the work and responsibilities of getting things organized and chaperoning and all that kind of stuff. They really create some neat opportunities for the kids.
Absolutely.
Those overnight bus trips are not much fun, are they?
They are memories, aren't they?
That's right. I never volunteered to chaperone this.
See, my sons did this year, and they were like, really? We're walking 10 miles?
I know, yeah. Okay, well, I guess we're ready for a roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. All right, we're on to our last item here, so take any comments or questions from board members, starting with you, Mr. Smith.
Great presentation. Thank you very much. Really enjoyed that. The Capitol Conference was time well spent, well worth it. If anybody has something that they can say or do to try to help move education forward in the state, the legislature looks very closely at that, and so that's going to be an area of real concern. And I'm looking forward to visiting Raymond tomorrow.
Get a chance. Lobsters
and butter, right?
Lobster.
Yeah, that's
what I
said.
Wait,
Joanne
left.
We're not serving that here. I'm just telling you.
Tuesday. I'll be there for lunch tomorrow. Yes.
Sorry.
Okay, Mr. Luke.
Thank you for your hospitality. Really appreciate it. I also wanted to comment on this, Diane. This looks great.
Thank you.
Anybody who worked on this, Jonathan, were you?
Actually, all the principals had a say. Sorry. Thank you.
Really good.
We've been working on it since late summer, probably. Talked about it in the spring, and it's been.
Yeah. Well, you can tell that it's well thought out.
And thank you.
I was also able to go to the conference, and I just wanted to mention briefly two of the sessions. One was on the Common Core, and learned quite a bit. One thing being that if this bill 597 falls apart, it doesn't mean that the issue is over. It could be resurrected in another form. So we'll just need to keep talking about the standards. I also learned that Ohio had the most educators involved in developing the Common Core standards of any state. I didn't know that. So that was interesting. The other session I wanted to mention was on human trafficking, which might not seem like something on our radar here, but it's probably going to be. There's a big campaign by the governor's office to raise awareness of human trafficking in Ohio. I learned, for example, that Toledo has the fourth biggest problem with that in the country, and it does affect people in Ohio, and the reason they were presenting it to educators was because
teachers and administrators are sometimes the first to notice that something's wrong with the kid if they're being victimized, mm-hmm. exploited in some way. So they were trying to raise our consciousness about how it works and how you can notice the signs that somebody, whether it's a girl or a boy, is actually being trafficked, you know, sold for sex. So I was interested to go to that session and start learning a little bit about that.
Well, and just to kind of buckle up on that, Route 33 is one of the major human trafficking highways coming in and out. So they go right by us all the time. So putting in on that, that's they use 33 a lot. Thank you very much. Thank the board for being so patient with the sickness of my dad you know, I've been kind of neglecting going to my schools and stuff because I haven't had time, but we'll kick back in now, and I'll be able to see Mike. So I'll be down with Michelle and getting over to see Amy. So that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Pleasant.
Well, I'm coming to visit next Tuesday, and we're having having prime rib.
Yeah.
Oh. Just to let you know.
Okay, Mike, I'll talk to you and Michelle.
I think it's like Monarch Bowls on Wednesday.
The other one was in talking with Joanne and the food services. Creekview had some Wright State students come in for six. They now have six visits on plate waste. And I guess some recommendations are being made through that, so I wanted to bring that to the attention. So.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
Well, I thank Lynette also. I was, like Diane mentioned, I was very impressed with the children opening the door for me, so it kind of set a new bar. So I'm expecting next meeting some third graders going valet parking.
Absolutely.
Have
to wash your car and detail it.
Yeah,
let Amy
know.
Yeah. Right.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. I was getting ready for you to crack a drill. The only other thing I just wanted to remind everyone that Memorial is opening their new sports medicine facility on Saturday, December 6th, and we are part of a competition with four other school districts. So whichever school district has the largest turnout percentage to enrollment receives a $10,000 donation from Memorial. So our initial conversations is that will go towards district technology, so something that could benefit all students. So we encourage everyone to go out and check in at the desk on the second floor to make sure that you're counted as attending.
Is it students?
It's students.
Okay, so if you don't have students and you know somebody who does and they can't make it, then kidnap their kids for a day and pretend like they're their parent.
Right.
No, or no, ask them if you can take their kids in to have them sign up.
Now,
right?
Diane, is that on the 6th, not the 3rd, right?
The 3rd is a
VIP.
Okay. And you can feel free. I had a meeting with Chip yesterday to attend either one.
Okay.
Really, so. It's a fantastic resource for our community.
Yes.
Just
but the 6th is what counts
for students, right?
Okay.
So certainly, if you took all your grandchildren,
yes. Yeah, it'd be great.
I'll be doing that.
Yes.
And so our students register on the second floor, and the students from the other schools are on back.
Yeah, oh, the Y. Right.
Over the Y.
Right. If they're North Union, send them that way.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And then I would also like to thank you again, Lynette. That was just such a wonderful presentation. It's really exciting to see what's happening out there. I also wanted to make just another comment about those retirees because, we're going to miss them, but I'm really excited. I know that I spoke with Mr. Hain, and he's just trying to figure out some things that he wants to do, but I'd be surprised if he's not still connected in some way just because he's going to miss it too. And, you know, because Thanksgiving is just around the corner, I think it's a great time to share our gratitude for all of our district employees. You guys do a great job, and our community and our students are really so lucky to have so many people who are passionate about doing the right things for them. So thank you very much. and thanks to my board and the governance team, not my board, thanks to the board and the governance team for just doing great work and keeping everything focused on what's best for the students. So with that, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Mr. Pleasant, second by Ms. Powers. Roll call.
Mr. Pleasant?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and we are adjourned at 8:15.
I think it is too. Well done. I'm okay with that.
Super good.
I didn't have 25 presentations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know
my head. Sorry,
I'm
sniffling.
That's the worst. Didn't bother me.
How's the rest of your
open enrollment?
Right.
Too, right?
So, right.
So,
and
you said that's
the
new one.
It'll be January.
So
we'll start
all
the
open
enrollment.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So that would be the third or the sixth.
Right. Okay. Have a great time.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, yeah, sure, right.
Just everything about
that. Did you need Thomas drink at all?
No.
Is that a full
crown?
Okay.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, all right.
There.
Yeah, then no connection there.
Yeah.
So what'd you like?
What'd
you like? Like the sweet fruity thing?
No, no.
Pina colada?
No, she's a real sour.
Okay. Okay.
So you should be able to get back in your
focus.
One is biomedical, so it's a student who wants actually a little pre-med.
Okay, well, that's good. Good luck. Here. Yeah, I will.
Medical assistant, so an RN. Then there will be an exercise science pathway.